And I want to read a verse or two in the Old Testament, Isaiah 35, 8 and 10. 8 to 10. Isaiah 35, 8, reading the Amplified Version. You know, there's no truth in the New Testament that you can't find references to in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the New Testament lies hid, but in the New Testament, the Old Testament lies open. And over in Isaiah 35, verses 8 to 10, you read these words. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring man. Yes, the simple ones, even foolish, shall not err in and lose their way. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk on it, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And Job makes a reference to this way. In Job 28 and 8, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen, and the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. And now our New Testament text in John 14, taking up these dialogues in John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Notice this verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know me. Ye know him, and have seen him. There are four dialogues in this chapter. It begins at the end of chapter 13. Peter's the one who picks up the first dialogue with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have Thomas in verse 5. And later on you have Philip, a dialogue between Philip and the Lord. And then you have Jude and his dialogue with the Lord. So this morning we'll come to the dialogue between the Lord Jesus and with Thomas. We may refer to what we were talking about last week because we didn't fully take up the subject of the place, the dialogue between the Lord and Simon Peter. As to the place, there were two places. He was going to the cross first, and then he was going back to heaven and to establish the mansion. Those who profit from the first, his death on the cross will benefit eternally from the second, the many mansions. If I remember correctly, we spoke of four conditions of heart last week. There was the quaking heart. You remember Moses at Mount Sinai when he saw the justice of God displayed? He said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Then if you're trying to get to heaven by the law, the Ten Commandments, you might well quake. You'll never get to heaven by way of Sinai. No one was ever saved at Sinai. They are condemned at Sinai, having broken the law, that under the curse of the law. That should make you quake. Then we notice a quickened heart. You have to be quick and new where dead in trespasses and in sin. When a person convicted of their sin and the curse under the law comes to Christ, for the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. When a person accepts Christ, he is quickened into a new creature in Christ Jesus. He has experienced a quickened heart. Then the qualified heart. If your heart has been quickened, you're qualified for service here and for heaven hereafter. You cannot qualify to serve the Lord here. You may teach in a Sunday school, sing in the choir, you may even stand in a pulpit. But unless you've been quickened by the Spirit of God, you are not qualified to serve the Lord. Only those who are saved can serve to glorify God and benefit men. So you have the qualified heart. Then we spoke about the quiet heart. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't worry. That's what the Lord is talking about. Don't worry. My, we're living in days of worry at the present. But he says, worry not. Don't worry about your condemnation. Because Christ has come. The Lord Jesus came into this world to bear your condemnation. And he will, and he did bear it at the cross. He'll make it good to you if you'll acknowledge you're a lost and guilty sinner. So worry not about the condemnation that hangs over you. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So you need not worry about that condemnation if you come to Christ. Worry not about your sin, for Christ has borne them. Christ has suffered for your sin. Worry not about death, for Christ has risen. Worry not about your weaknesses and failure, for Christ intercedes for you at God's right hand. Worry not about your future, for Christ is coming everywhere you go. While in Canada, this summer, in the northern part of the United States, the question's on everyone's mind, what do you think's going to happen? What do you think about the future? How's it all going to end? Yes, they've a right to worry. For the end, for this poor scene, is not far off, but it's bad. Unless you'll pray. You don't have to worry about our monetary system collapsing. You don't have to worry about the shift of certain national politics. You don't have to worry about those things. Christ is coming. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He can say that because his was troubled in chapter 12. Now is my soul troubled. He was thinking of the cross. And so he went to the cross. He suffered and bled and died. Now he's in heaven. Now he says, you don't have to worry. I'm taking care of those perplexing problems. You don't have to worry. How sweet it is to be able to say, I have nothing to worry about. Everything's settled. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. It's amazing in these hours prior to Christ going to the cross, the words he often used in the upper room. He used the words glory, love, peace, and joy. Strange words. If you were to go to a prison and they're soon to pass on, and they're talking about the glory, this is true in some cases, godly Christians. They talked about the glory. They speak of their joy and their peace and their love. The Lord did that. He knew what was before him. The agony of Golgotha, he knew it. yet he could speak of the glory. He could speak of joy. He could speak of peace. He could speak of love. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. We can endure a lot in the present. We know the future is bright. Let not your heart be troubled. He didn't say let your not your hearts. He didn't use the plural there. He used the singular. One heart. For he was speaking to his own. Let not your heart be troubled. There's the oneness of heart. All loving the same Lord. Isn't that nice? All believing the same word, the Bible. All speaking the same thing. All indwelt by the same Spirit. All going to the same place. That's what he means. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, last week we were referring to heaven. How can you exhaust this subject on heaven? The glories of heaven have often been portrayed in various terms, such as it's called a country because of its vastness. It's called a city because the large numbers will be there. It's spoken of as a kingdom because of its orderliness. Spoken of as a paradise because of its delight. It's spoken of as the Father's house because of its permanency. Isn't it wonderful? Heaven is home. Home is a wonderful word, not your house. House is bricks and mortar. Many people live in bricks and mortar, but it's not home. When everything goes well, and there's love and harmony in that house, it is a home, a real home. No sin, no sickness, no sorrow, no distraction, no disappointment, no suspicion, no separation, no insecurity, no shame. That's home. That's what heaven will be. There'll be no end there. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. A home that'll never end. A home that'll be perpetuated throughout the eons of eternity. That's where the Christian is going. The place of many mansions. It's a place of rest. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, for they do rest from their labors. And the fruit, the reward, follow them. Also, it's a place of light. Unsullied light. Untarnished light. There'll be no light there. It's a place of adoring worship where all shall worship one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be a place of blessed realization and relationship, the Father's house. A wonderful place. You know, in Peter's dialogue, he begins life's journey for the Christian with the cross. And he ends life's journey in paradise, heaven. That's the dialogue between Peter and the Lord. What a wonderful beginning. Calvary. What a wonderful end. The glory. First three is wonderful. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. How remarkable are those words. If you will read those two or three verses, you'll find the pronoun I mentioned about six or seven times. Here's the blessed person. If I go away, that's the blessed person. I will, there's his power. Come again, there you have his promise. And come again, yes, there's his prospect. We are looking forward, that's our prospect of coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive you. That's the first people receive you. He's talking to his own, the saved. Receive where I am. That's the place. That there ye may be also. That's the purpose. Why all this? He might have people with him sharing the Father's house throughout all eternity. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he went back to heaven. That's why he's living at God's right hand. That's why he's coming again, that he might have his own with himself throughout all eternity. Chapter 17, when we get to it, I will follow that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That concludes Peter's dialogue. Now we come to Thomas, and Thomas is talking about the way, as we know in verses 5 and 6. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the way to the Father's house. He doesn't say, I am a way, as if there are other ways. He says, I am the way. He's the only way. He didn't say, I come to show you the way. No, he says, I am the way. He is the only way to heaven. And he's all the way, not part of the way. He doesn't say you, and later on you lose it. You lose the way and you get it back on again. He says, I am the way. I'm the only way. And I'm all the way. From the moment you're saved to the moment you arrive in glory. Man lost the way when he sinned against God in the beginning. And he's been seeking a way back ever since. And that's why you've got all these religions in the world. You find over in Isaiah chapter 53:6, all we like sheep have gone away, gone astray. We've heard every man to his own way. Here are people taking their own way. All have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And think of the thousands, hundreds of thousands of religions in the world, lost sheep, and are seeking a way back to God. Some of it's very weird. Yes, there are many ways. So many things. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, unto men, but the end thereof is the way of death. Man-made ways. But the Lord makes it very plain there's only one way. And the strange thing is, this way is the narrow way. Over Matthew 7, he speaks of the broad way that leadeth to destruction, and the many there be which go in that. Straight is the gate, the narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find. I didn't say that, the Lord said it. There are people today that think the majority of people are going to heaven. They're sincere. Oh yeah, they'll get there. Only a few are going to heaven compared to the majority going to hell. The Lord said that. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a sad thing. Christ is the straight way. He's the narrow way. No crookedness on this way. No deception. This way is clear. It's plain. And only a few are on it. No room on this way. It's too narrow for the thieves, the drunkards, the liars, the proud, the self-righteous, the unconverted church members, the rebellious, the pleasure seekers. This way is too narrow for that car. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What characterizes those who are on this way to heaven? Well, I'll tell you what characterizes. They're born again. They're in Christ. They have the Spirit of God. They've been taken by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit. They have everlasting life. Their sins are all forgiven. They have peace. Do you have these things? I'll ask you again. Are you born again? Are you in Christ? Have you been sealed by the Spirit? Do you have everlasting life? Are your sins all forgiven? Do you have peace? You say, no, I can't say that. Then you're lost. And you don't have Christ. You may have religion. There are only two ways in the Bible, up and down. The way of life, the way of death. There's no neutral pattern. Just truth. Which road are you on this morning? There's no neutral ground. It's the one or the other. And there's only one way. That's taught in the Old Testament. The ark only had one door. It didn't have a door on one side and one on the other side, three stories, one at every story. It had one door. That was true then. And it's true now. There's only one door. In Exodus 12, when the judgment of God fell upon Egypt, there was only one way. The sprinkled blood of the Lamb on the two side posts on the upper door, upper lintel. One way. If you didn't have the blood applied, that night judgment fell. Red Sea. Only one avenue to the Red Sea out of Egypt. Only one. To Jordan. From the wilderness into the promised land. One way to the River Jordan, God opened up the way. And you remember, they had one scarlet thread, and she trusted it. Just one. That's it. One serpent of brass in the 21st of Numbers, when the children of Israel had sinned, and God sent fiery serpents among them. God says, Moses, erect a serpent of brass, and everyone who looks to that serpent of brass shall live. And the Lord Jesus refers to that in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. One serpent of brass, one Savior, one way, just one. Are you on that one way? Then we come to the next truth. I am the way, the truth. The truth in contrast to error and lies. And I'll tell you both, abound in our world today, error and lies. The Lord was brought before Pilate. And the Lord says, I am truth. He's referred to truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? What is truth? Pilate was looking right at it. Yet he asked the question, what is truth? Christ was truth. You ask me, what's the truth today in the midst of worldwide error? And with all these ways, religious ways, which is the true way, Christ. And with all these errors and lies that are circulated, which is the truth, Christ. He's the truth. There's no lie here. The truth. There are some wonderful words in your Bible. Wonderful doctrines behind those words. And there are seven of them. The doctrine of regeneration. That's when you're quickened into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Just regeneration. Justification. You're cleared of all blame before God. Reconciliation. You've been reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Sanctification. Set aside for God. Set apart for God. Propitiation. God is appeased and satisfied. Redemption. You've been bought. Purchased. Glorification. Seven things. All these seven things are found in Jesus Christ. All of them. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All these truths are found in Jesus Christ. You have Him, you have them all. That's what the Bible says. How wonderful to know that you have Christ. I have all these things. You may not understand the meaning of all these words, but you have Christ, and eventually if you study your Bible, you'll understand them all. But over against the truth that's found in Jesus Christ, you have the lies of the wicked one, Satan. And the Bible says that he's a liar. Over in chapter 8 of John, Christ said to those religious men, you're of your father the devil. The lust of the father ye will do. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. And he's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. When he speaks of the lie, he speaks of himself. Over against the truth being preached in Jesus Christ, you have the lies and errors of the devil. And all these false cults in the world today. You can twirl your dial and hear all of the country. Cult. 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 And God says, people don't want my son, they don't want the truth, and in the latter days I'm going to send them strong delusions, false doctrines, that they may believe the lie. And the lie is the devil and the coming Antichrist. Or world dictator. For when he comes, he'll tell the great lie. I'm the true Christ. What a lie. Jesus Christ was an apostate. A deceiver. He wasn't the real one. I'm the real one. Jesus Christ was a fake. I am the real one. And people are going to believe him. They're going to believe him. After 1900 years hearing the gospel preached and Jesus Christ exalted, they're going to turn from the truth and they're going to receive the lie. The Bible says that. And you're believing him this morning. If you haven't Christ, you're following the lie. Christ is the truth. He's telling you to accept the truth right now. The devil says, don't do it. Put it off. You're listening to the lie, the liar from the beginning. I am the way, he says, and the truth. How wonderful to have the truth and know it. The lie is going to be personified in that coming man. And to think the world becomes so atheistic, so ostracized from the truth, that they'll receive that one, and Satan is going to give all his power. Satan, the liar, the dragon from the beginning, is going to give all his power unto the beast. And the world will believe it. And a lot are believing it today. People will knock at your door and hand you some literature, and you take it, and you read it, and you believe the lie. Unless you know the truth. Unless you know the truth. I am the way, the truth. But he says something else. I am the life. I am the life. How wonderful to know the life. the light that's in front of you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life eternal, it always has been. Life everlasting, it always shall be. You have this everlasting life this morning. God wants you to have it. If you have Christ, you have this everlasting life. He is the source of life. In him was life, is life, and forever shall be life. He's the source of life. He's the giver of life. I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. He's the one who sustains life. He that eateth me, even he shall live by me. He's the assurance of life. He that hath the Son hath life. He is also the security of life. Your life, spiritually, is hid with Christ in God. And he is the abundant life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Inexhaustible life. All this is in Jesus Christ. Man lost the way. He believed the lie, experienced death by following Adam. But when he finds the way, he'll know the truth and he'll possess the life. When he comes to Christ. Think about that. If you're not a Christian here this morning, it just simply means this. You're lost. You're in the wrong way. You're following a lie. And you're going to experience death. Not only physical, but eternal death. The lake of fire. Now that's the one way. The other is, if you come to Christ, you'll find the true way, and you'll know the truth, and you'll possess life, Jesus Christ. We find reconciliation in the way, we find illumination in the light, truth, and we find regeneration in the life. All this is in Christ Jesus. If you have Christ, you have everything. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything worth having. It's all in Christ Jesus. Christ is the way to walk. Christ is the truth to trust. And Christ is the life to live. Some people try to show their deep spirituality and they say, I'm willing to lay down my life for Christ. I'll tell you something harder than that. Live for Christ. God's not asking you to lay down your life for Christ. He's asking you to live for Christ. Let people know you belong to Christ and manifest the life of Christ which is in you. And as Thomas A. Kempis, that great divine, said back in the mid-centuries, the dark centuries, I am the way. Beside me, referring to Christ, I am the way. Beside me, there is no going. I am truth. Beside me, there is no knowing. I am life. Beside me, there is no living. How true. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, underline it, no man, be he king or beggar, rich or poor, educated or illiterate. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All these religions that don't embody the person and work of Christ, strike them off, lost. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, and that means the Father's house of many mansions too. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How wonderful that is. So, Christ, this morning you are unsaved. You have no Christ, no Father, no Spirit, no hope, no heaven, and no excuse. You have absolutely no excuse. for being as you are this morning, because you've had the opportunity, and you have the opportunity to accept Christ and know the way, the truth, and the life. This is your chance. We referred to those passages in the Old Testament, those wonder passages. And it has a reference to Israel in the future. That wonderful highway of holiness. And it refers to that day when Christ is going to come and dispose of his enemies at the Armageddon. Russia hates Israel. The East, things of the East, hate Israel. There are millions on the continent hate Israel. Millions of Arabs hate Israel. Millions in the United States hate Israel. And the NAACP, you know what they're doing. Climbing up to the Arabs against Israel. The world is turning against Israel. And the day is going to come when they're going to try and exterminate Israel. The devil's going to try and dispose of that nation because it brought forth the conqueror of sin. She's the woman that brought forth the man child according to Revelation 12. And they're trying to kill the woman. And she wears 12 stars on her crown, as you find that, the 12 tribes of Israel. But in that day when Christ disposes of his enemies and the enemies of Israel, he says there will be a highway straight to Zion. And he says the redeemed of the Lord are going to travel it straight to Zion. And he says, I'll be with them on it. I have given them my fellowship as they tread it. And he says, no lion can see it. No vulture can behold it. Here is a way that beasts and birds don't understand. They don't have that intelligence. We read that in that text. No vulture's eye can see it. No lion can tread upon it. Are birds and beasts more intelligent than you? In other words, you have intelligence, and you're not using it. And yet birds and beasts have obeyed the Lord. The Lord sat on a beast, unbroken colt, it submitted to him. The birds obeyed him when he told them to go and take bread to his servant Elijah. Yes, birds and beasts have obeyed the Lord, even though they haven't the intelligence to know the way. You're an intelligent human being. You've got money, brains enough to make money, but you don't have enough intelligence to know what's coming on the world and what your desperate need is and the only way to receive it. You haven't seen the way yet. And it's not for birds or beasts, it's human beings. This is the way. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Birds and beasts die, and that's the end. There's no hereafter. That's not so with you. You've got a soul that's going to exist as long as God exists, either in hell or hell. You say, I know that I believe it or not. You will believe it. 1 second after you die, you'll believe it. For you'll be in that place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you don't believe, there's a hell. Call Jesus Christ a liar, a fabricator, if there's no lake of fire. He spoke of it. He was no apostle. He's no liar. He tells you the truth. But people don't like the truth. They don't want the truth. The truth hurts. that he is the way and the truth. And if you don't want the truth, you just don't want Christ. I'm giving you the Bible. You might differ with me on other subjects all your life, but you can't differ with me on this subject. I'm giving the Bible. It's not an argument between you and me. It's an argument between you and God and the Lord Jesus Christ, his word. Are you going to believe it? He asked you to come. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you want Christ, or are you going to continue in the wrong way, in the way of error and lie, and also the way of death? Or are you going to come this morning and find Christ? He's the way, the only way, the safe way, the satisfying way, the straight way. I want him, and I want the truth, nothing but the truth. And I want the light of God, not human light, the life of God. We are the partakers of the divine nature. All this is in Christ. He is the reservoir of all these wonderful things. Your eternity is wrapped up in one personality. Not in a creed or a doctrine, but in a person. That person is our Lord Jesus Christ. He can be yours. He can be yours now. The choice is yours. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We ask thy blessing on thy word. We rejoice. It fills our hearts to be able to tell the truth and to present thy Son, the Lord Jesus, the only one, the only way, the one who is the personification of truth. He cannot lie. We thank thee, he is the only one who has eternal life. All that men need for happiness here and in eternity is found in the Lord Jesus. Oh, that someone at this moment will open his or her heart and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. He stands knocking at their heart door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Oh, Father, may someone yield to that knocking this morning and swing their heart's door wide open and bid them enter while they may. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we sing closing that familiar hymn? 373, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lord God, I come. There are undoubtedly millions in heaven through this hymn. There could be a million and one more. That means you.